Yeah. le Dieu d'Abraham, Dieu de Moïse, Dieu d'Isaac et Dieu de leur Maro Branham. Nous te remercions, Père de gloire, pour cette grâce, ô Dieu, que tu nous as fait, Seigneur, ce soir, Seigneur. Car nombreux, Seigneur, entre nous, Seigneur, n'ont pas eu, ô Dieu, cette occasion, Seigneur, cette opportunité, cette grâce et cette faveur, Seigneur, de venir devant ta face, Père de gloire. C'est pourquoi, ô Dieu d'amour, nous te remercions, Père de gloire. Nous te glorifions, Père de gloire. Nous te glorifions, Père de gloire, car tu mérites toutes les choses, Seigneur, Dieu d'amour. Ô Père, nous sommes bénis, Seigneur, car on croit que, Seigneur, c'est chez toi, Seigneur, qu'on prend les changements, Seigneur, Père de gloire. Ô Père, change-nous, Seigneur de gloire. Change-nous le Dieu d'amour. Change-nous le miséricordieux, Seigneur. Qu'on rentre pas, Seigneur, à la maison, Seigneur, comme on était venu, Père de gloire. Nous croyons de tout cœur, Seigneur, que nous croyons à un Dieu vivant. Nous croyons au message, Seigneur, du temps de la fin, Seigneur Jésus-Christ. Dans cet âge, Seigneur, de la Odyssée, ô Père de gloire, nous venons ici, Seigneur, que tu nous purifies, ô Dieu d'amour, que tu nous changes, Dieu d'amour, que tu nous justifies, ô Dieu d'amour, Seigneur. Nous croyons encore, Seigneur, de tout cœur, que tu es le Dieu qui change, Seigneur. Change nos cœurs, ô Dieu d'amour. Avant même, Seigneur, que le pasteur, Seigneur, puisse passer, Seigneur, devant ici, Seigneur, nous te prions, Seigneur, que toi, Dieu d'amour, que tu puisses, Seigneur, venir descendre, Seigneur, avant que le passé passe, Seigneur Jésus-Christ. Nous croyons, ô Dieu, que tu vas faire le miracle, Seigneur, que tu vas changer les cœurs de chacun de nous. Nous te croyons aussi au nom de Seigneur Jésus-Christ. Amen.
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 Let's give God a praise. Amen. Lord, I want it a bit. And you can extend it a bit on the compass. Let us just sing a song that says, Wahambanati. How many know the song?
Wahambanati, oh Wahambanati, oh Wahambanati, Siaboga.
Is it alright, Bazaar? Are we happy this month? This afternoon.
Wahambanati, oh Wahambanati, oh Wahambanati, Siaboga. Oh, Ali ribona, riche, ribase, kikano lau, paramaseri.
Ali ribona,
Ali ribona, riche,
ribase.
Oh, we greet all of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many are happy to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. We're just happy we've got our pastor, Pastor Shadrach. Amen. He says he's going back to Zimbabwe on Sunday. And then I thought we would pin him down here on Sunday. But I think the assembly in Uville, they want him to be there. They said the benefit is that immediately after the service, he would get onto the bus. Amen, but I will see if we can change and make a plan. Amen.
Amen.
But we'll see what we can do. As we turn to the Bible, in this book, Luke chapter
15,
and then Luke 15, and then verse 11.
Luke 15, verse 11.
Amen. It reads in this manner, I found. Just wait for the believers to find it. If you all found it, you can say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes we need to wait for the believers because you find somebody looking for a scripture but not finding it, but just staring in the Bible. Even wondering what are they reading.
Luke 15, verse 11.
Amen. God bless you. He said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after the young son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living.
What emva kwezinsuku eziningi indodana encane yayisibutha konke yamuka yaya ezweni elikude yachitha khona imfuyo yayo ihamba ngokunganaki.
When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine.
Komunye umuntu walelozwe yena wayithuma emadlelweni akhe ukuba yaluse izingulube.
And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him.
Yafisa ukuzisuthisa ngemidumba edliwa izingulube, kepha kayiphuwanga umuntu.
17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with
hunger?
I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee.
Ngiyakusuka ngiye kubaba ngithi baba ngunile kulo izulu naphambi kwakho.
And no more with it to be called thy son, make me as one of thy hired servants.
Angisafanele ukuthiwa indodana yakho ngenze ngibe njengomunye wabaqashwa bakho.
As we pray.
Sisakhulela.
Most gracious heavenly Father, we approach your throne of mercy this evening. As mortals that acknowledge their own mortality, and Lord, that is why we have come to this place, just to have some material that can help us to transition from mortality to immortality.
Amen.
And Lord, as we have bowed our heads and facing the soil from which one day we will return, but there is something of substance that you put in human beings.
Amen.
Which is a soul, dear God. And I believe that these men and women this evening have come to the house of the Lord in order for their souls to be fed, dear God. And there is no better diet than that unadulterated word of the living God that was brought by the prophet messenger in the end time.
Amen.
Lord, at this point in time, we say, let every man's word be a lie, and let your word be the truth. As we commit this service and commit ourselves to you, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
While you take your seats, amen. This evening, we want to speak on a very subject entitled Delayed Gratification.
Sithanda ukukhuluma ngesihloko esithi ukugculiseka okubambezelekile.
Is it the right one?
Amen.
Delayed gratification.
Ukugculiseka okubambezelekile.
That's what we want to speak about this evening.
Sithanda ukuthi sikhulume ngakho namhlanje kusihlwa.
Because we live in an instant society. We live in a world where it's a world of push buttons. Instant meals. Instant entertainment. The car windows that could roll at the press of a button. Instant cash from your 24-hour
ATMs.
Instant messages on your cell phones. Instant information on your radios. So we live in a world of the now. Amen. People have got no patience in any way. Maybe just to give you a clarity in terms of what a delayed gratification I mean by that. It is simply an ability to resist temptation for an immediate reward and wait for a later reward. And delayed gratification, it's associated with resisting a smaller but more immediate reward. In order to receive larger and more enduring rewards later. You cannot ever be a believer or a message believer unless you've got the ability to delay gratification. Because the devil is a specialist of instant gratification. You see it amongst our young people. You see it amongst the married people. You see it among business people. You see it amongst the church. churches.
Uyabona emabandleni.
We live in an era where people cannot wait.
Siphila esikhathini lapha abantu abangakwazi ukubekezela.
If God spoke something or gave a promise.
UNkulunkulu ekhuluma ukuthile okanye wanikeza isithembiso.
It takes a character to wait upon the promises of God.
Kubiza isimilo ukuthi kumele izwi likaNkulunkulu.
Because oftentimes when God gives a promise,
esikhathini esiningi uNkulunkulu enikeza isithembiso.
He never mentions as to when he's going to do it.
Akachazi ukuthi uyosenza nini.
Because in the process of waiting, he wants to develop your character.
Ukuthi ekubekezeleni kwakho ufuna ukwakha isimilo sakho.
Because why? God loves the people that can receive the promise.
uNkulunkulu uthanda abantu abangamukela isithembiso.
And not stagger upon that promise.
Futhi bangakhubeki kuleso sithembiso leso.
Now, just to show you, I mean, before I go into my nose.
Ngaphambi ukuthi ngene nje emlayezweni wami.
Just to show you that we live in a society of the now.
Ukukhombisa ukuthi siphila emphakathini wesikhathi samanje.
I want everything now.
Ufuna konke njengamanje.
That is the generation that we find ourselves in.
Sona sizululwane sithole kusona ke leso.
A fast paced society.
Umphakathi osheshayo.
A neurotic age, as the prophet would call it.
Futhi umprofeti ubizwa ukuthi umphakathi ohlakaniphile.
But through this message I want to develop a sense of waiting in you.
Kulomlayezo ngifuna ukufaka kunina ukubekezela.
If you cannot wait upon God, you will never receive anything from God.
Uma ungakwazi ukumbekezelela uNkulunkulu angeke uthole uthole qhamuka kuNkulunkulu.
And actually God doesn't want us to help him in any way.
uNkulunkulu akafuni ukuthi simsize
hlobo. As the pastor indicated last week, he's not interested in our abilities.
Ngoba umeliso ke yakubika evikini edlule ukuthi akanakanga amakhono wethu.
When he gave a promise to Abraham.
Umenikeza uAbraham isithembiso.
The promise never included Hagar.
Isithembiso asimfakanga uHagar.
It was a promise to Abraham and Sarah.
Babu isithembiso sikaAbraham noSarah.
No matter how long it took, they had to wait upon that promise.
Noma wathatha isikhathi eside kangakanani kwakufanele basilindele leso sithembiso.
And actually, if you cannot wait upon God,
uma ungakwazi ukumlindela uNkulunkulu,
then you will manufacture something that God has never manufactured.
Uzokukhandela kuloko uNkulunkulu angakukhandanga.
And as a result, you will create more problems for yourself.
Ngenxa yalokho uzoyithola useyinkingeni eziningi.
You know that Hagar became a problem in the house of Abraham.
Yazi ukuthi uHagar waba yinkinga manje ekhaya likaAbraham.
Until Sarah said, chase her away.
USarah waze wathi mxoshe.
Hallelujah. But it was not God's provided way for Hagar to be part of the picture.
Anga singindlela uNkulunkulu wayehlinzekelile ukuthi uHagar bayingxenye yesithombe.
Just to sensitize you, you are what you eat.
Ukuthi ngincije nje nilokho enikudlayo.
Hallelujah. Even spiritually, you are what you eat.
Ngisho noma sikhuluma ngokwesimoya uyiloko okudlayo.
They say if you eat junk you become what?
But uma udla ukudla okujunk uba yini?
You become what? You become junk as well.
Uba junk nawe.
Because why? You become what you eat.
Ingani uba yiyona lento leyo idlayo.
But the prophet say this message is the son of man and we are feeding on the son of man.
Prophet uthi lo mlayezo uyindodana yomuntu and thina sidla indodana yomuntu.
And if we are feeding on the son of man,
uma sidla indodana yomuntu,
then we become exactly the material that made the son of man.
Siba yona nto vele yenze indodana yomuntu.
Amen. Just to take you through that.
Wathi ngidlulise kuzo.
You look at the cows that are on the screen.
Ubheka inkomo elapha kulesi screen.
It's absolutely abnormal.
Azijwayelekile.
Hallelujah. They injected them with a certain chemical.
Bayifaka ichemical ethile.
In order to fast track their growth.
Ukuze ukuthi bayikhulise ngokusheshsha.
So you can imagine once you eat beef that was made from this cow.
Qabanga umudle inyama evela kulenkomo
lena. What you do to your own system?
Kuzokwenzani lowo kule system yakho?
But you know why it's like that?
Uyazi ngani kunjena?
It's because these people they want to fulfill a demand that is out there.
Ukuthi bafuna ukugculisa isidingo esikhona lapha ya.
Amen. The chicken in 1957?
Inkukhu ngo-1957.
43 days it looked like this.
Intsukwane zo 43 na benjena.
57 days it looked like this.
57 days benjena.
71 days it looked like this.
71 days benjena.
In 85 days it looked like this.
It went to 85 benjena.
In 2000.
Oh, 2000.
Look how it is looking. It looks like a turkey.
Awubheka ukuthi ibukeka kanjani, ifana ne turkey.
Hallelujah. until such time that even itself it cannot carry its own weight. Because why? It is genetically modified. And this is the kind of food that we are eating today. And no wonder we are getting sicker and sicker. Because you were made to eat naturally. But why is such a pressure in order to produce as much chicken as they would want to produce? It's because all of you pull at this outlet. The people today are even lazy just to walk out of the car and go to the counter. Just press the button, the window rolls down, and they serve you at McDonald's. And then you drive off. No physical activity. And I can tell you, this food are killing us. But why is the market for this? It is because the people love instant gratification. The people cannot wait to cook for 2 hours. And maybe the sisters, well edit, we like home cooked meals. Because that is God's provided way. KFC is not or McDonald's is not God's provided way. But all these things, they make us sick. Hallelujah. And when you go into the shops, buy now, pay later. Buy now, wear now, pay later. Hallelujah. You can drive it out of the car dealership. We'll see you in January. It's the kind of society that we live in. Whatever they see, they want it now. And I will read a scripture well on the finances, because I want to help you today. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 to 7. It reads in this manner. And actually, I would want us, all of us, to read it together. Let's get it on the screen. Let's read it together. Be audible. Let's read it. That's right. The second one.
Yes, Billy.
I want that one, the borrower is servant to the lender. Amen. While edit, I want to say this to you so that you must not be nervous. There is what we call a healthy debt and unhealthy debt.
Healthy debt and unhealthy debt.
Your car is a healthy debt.
It's a healthy debt.
Your house is a healthy debt.
It's a healthy debt.
But any other debt outside that is unhealthy one. Hallelujah. But we live in a world because it's an instant gratification society. We live in a world where a credit card pays for a credit card. You can say, Brother Madiba, but that's personal. What does it have to do with Wednesday service? A debt can put you in a bondage. It can affect your spiritual well-being. Ed Biskal he mentions in one, I think it is a statement that he issued in one of the Only Believe some time back. He said, Brother Branham said to him, Brother Ed, Whatever you do, make sure that you don't get into debt. Because it is difficult to serve God when you are in a debt. Why? Because now you become a slave to your lender. You don't have the peace of mind. But the society that we live in, as I've mentioned there, we never care about what tomorrow holds or what is going to happen tomorrow. We are only living for the moment. Everything that we need it for now. I told you about an experiment that they once made, where a scientist got the toddlers together. And they gave them the marshmallow. How many know marshmallows? Then they gave them the marshmallow. And he said to them, I am going to leave the room for 15 minutes. And I will come after 15 minutes. If I find one either of you still having their marshmallows, then I will give you another marshmallow. So instead of one, you will have two. But for you to get the second one, you have got to resist the temptation to eat that marshmallow at that moment. Then he left them with the marshmallows. Now, after he left, for 15 minutes, you can imagine the toddlers with the marshmallow on the table. In some, in order to avoid, they were just looking at the ceiling, or they were looking on the floor, but some couldn't resist to take the marshmallow. They took and ate the marshmallow, because 15 minutes was longer. And when he came back, then he realized some had eaten the marshmallow and some had refused to eat the marshmallow. But here's something interesting. They took the names of those kids in order to trace them later in life. When they traced them later in life, those that ate the marshmallow, they were found to be in prison. They were found to have divorced. They were found to be alcoholics. They found them to be drug addicts. But those that resisted to eat the marshmallow, they led the stable life. They achieved academically. Now, when they went back to research, they realized that if a child can develop a sense of delaying an instant gratification, such child, when they grow up as balanced adults. And when I went to read it, I say it doesn't only apply to toddlers, it applies to Christians as well. A Christian that can be able to resist a temptation is a balanced Christian. But a Christian that lives for a moment, perishes in a moment. But a Christian that can be solid and stand on solid ground and know that no matter what the pleasures of the world may be, I will not participate in the pleasures of this world, because there is an eternal life at the end of the journey. As Christians, they become balanced. But when you look at the prodigal son, he as well had the desire for instant gratification. The father had brought up in a godly manner. He had taught them the scriptural principles. And as he taught them, and they knew that later they had an inheritance. But this young one, when he woke up and went to the father, and say, I want my inheritance now. That's a microwave mentality. I want my inheritance now. And the father wanted to reason with him and say, but can you wait for a few more years? I said, no, I want it now. I want to use my money now. It is not in me to wait until it is given to me. I want it now. Until the father realized that he can't hold him anymore. And the prophet said they got together. And they began to pray. And as they pray, the father said to the son, I want to say the last prayer before you go. And after he prayed, the young man took his clothes and went down to the far country. When he went to the far country, it was easier to get to the far country because it was downhill to go to the far country. It is always easier to leave God. The devil will always make it easier, but he will never tell you about the cost of it. I want to say to you, brethren, sin is attractive but it's dangerous. But we need the believers that even when the devil presents sin as appealing, they can look at that sin and say, inside of this sin there is a poison, and I will reject it. But this young boy, because he lived for the moment, then he left. He didn't care about tomorrow. He didn't care what type of a man he was going to become. And then the prophet said, you parents, if Junior wants something and he wants it now and you give him now, remember Junior is going to be a man one day, and he will be a man without a character, and a man without a character can never lead a family, because it takes character in order to be led by God. But this young boy said, I'm leaving, and he left for the far country. When he got to the far country, it was instant gratification. Maybe if it was in the modern day, maybe he had a credit card, maybe he had a sports car, the life was comfortable. I wonder how many lives did the young boy destroy, because one young person that goes off the rails doesn't only destroy themselves, they destroy the community. You want me to demonstrate that to you? Let's say some parents here in Witbank, they leave a young boy with a house, and they go maybe stay in Johannesburg, and he owns the house. Do you know how many girls are going to be destroyed by that house? Do you know how many young boys are going to be destroyed by that house? How many young lives were destroyed by the prodigals? When he went to the far country, he got access to the drugs. He had access to the friendships in the far country. He lived for the moment. He never thought about the repercussions of his decision. You can have a choice, but you will never choose the consequences. consequences.
And
every decision has got consequences. No matter what it has consequences. And the decisions that he made were ungodly ones. They were not in line with his character. He had forgotten the teachings of his father. He had been absorbed by the life in the far country. As long as he had, he was popular. But when he was lacking, then the friends turned their backs on him. I can tell you without the message, there are no genuine friends. And I will repeat so that it sinks in. Without the message, there are no genuine friends. They can be your friends because of a certain condition. But when that condition changes, they will change. But I know one friend who will never change, irrespective of the condition. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you have, whether you have not, he remains exactly the same. And when he got there, then he became popular. He lived for a moment. He was accepted in various groups. Every party that they threw, they invited him. And every party that he attended, it cost him something in his soul. It took him far away from God. And let me tell you something, young one. The prophet of God says, even you young ones, a believer doesn't just go to a party, especially a party of unbelievers, because you don't know what may happen there. They can give you a coke thinking that it's a coke, only to find that it's not a coke. Because we live in a twisted society. But every believer must have a discernment. Before you get into something, you must ask yourself, where is this leading to? And if you know that the end will not be pleasant, get out of it. But when he got there, he attended every party. He was called everywhere. Soon money ran out. And he had absolutely nothing. And he was raised as a Jew. That must not have anything to do with the swine. The devil can take you far. But when he really embarrasses you, he as well become merciless. He was there, no one felt pity for him. And now he was taken by another man in order to take care of the swine. And right there, that instant gratification had cost him so much. And we as believers, we must remember one thing. The low living has got a high cost. Hallelujah. When he got there, then he was stripped of everything. And now he had been reduced to somebody that took care of the swine. He had to eat with them. Because when you take off the swine, you end up being like them. They make you dirty as much as they are dirty. They made you to stink as much as they stink. He was reduced to a subhuman. That's what sin will do, will reduce you to a subhuman. But when it started, it was appealing. At the end of, he was reduced to a subhuman. He had to eat with them. And as he was there, being consumed by that gratification, experiencing the consequences of his decision, the Bible says he came unto himself. To come unto himself was a journey. He had to remember his place of origin. He had to remember who I was before I came here.
What type of God did I worship? What type of father did I have? And when he began to ask himself, then there was a realization that I deserve better than this. I deserve to break out of this cycle. The devil might take you into the pig's pen, but don't die there. You still have a willpower to say, the devil is enough. I'm coming out of this condition. I'm tired of this condition. I'm breaking this cycle. I've got a father who's waiting for me. And when he realized that, he remembered that in my father's house, there is enough bread that until some of the servants can partake of. He remembered how loving his father was. I can see tears rolling down. And said, you played with me far too long. But today it ends up here. I am coming out of this situation. I don't believe your message anymore. He stood up and looked at the swine and looked at the master and said, Master, I'm here to tell you, I'm leaving. I'm done with this life. I'm going back home. There is a place for me at the table in my father's house. And I'm going back there. And the master looked at him and reminded him and said, you remember how many lives you destroyed? You remember the money that you had spent and wasted in the far house? You remember there's no way that the father can take you back. That's exactly what the devil wants you to believe, to say you don't deserve much better. But there was something, there was a pull in this young man and said, it doesn't make sense, but I am going back. I don't have facts. I don't know what to tell him, but I am done. I am going back. It will not be easier, but I will push on. He stood up and began to take a walk. He began to walk. Going back was more difficult than going there, because the devil will always make it difficult. And as he was coming back, as he was coming up on the mountain, it was an uphill going back. Being reconciled with God is an uphill. You need to let go of your pride and raise your hands and say, I'm a sinner and I need your grace, God. And it doesn't matter who says what around you, but you need to keep on walking. And as he was walking, the scoffers were there, the skeptics were there, and they made fun of him and said, you don't look exactly the same, you have lost so much weight. But there was something that was in him that can never be silenced by the voice of the skeptics. I'm going back. And he was busy walking. Something was pushing him. Something was pushing him. They made fun of him. They said, how long have you gone? Do you still remember home? But there was that voice that said, I will direct you. It was the love of the father throwing the son. And as he was walking, not because of prayer, he must have stumbled and fell. But he stood up. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter how many times you fall. What matters is how many times you rise up. Hallelujah. And as he was walking back, it was difficult. He stood up. Then he walked. They made fun of him, but he kept on walking. Brother Branham says, you need to keep on walking. You have people talk, you need
need to keep on working. Be unconscious of criticism. Just keep on working. If they talk, keep on working. If they criticize, keep on working. And if you keep on working, it will lead you to the Father's house. And as he was working, right there, something said to the Father, just take a walk in front of the house. And as he was talking, walking, maybe enjoying a panoramic view, he looked at far and looked and said, but that shape form,
what God blessed,
it is familiar. He was able to identify the Son not through the naked eye, but with something inside of him. Because what was drawing the Son was in the Father as well. The deep calls unto the deep. And if there is a deep to call, there's got to be a deep to respond. And as he was walking there, the Father went out and began to run to him. I see the Father and the Son being reconciled. The Father went there and gave him a hug. And the Father, the Son, because of shame,
couldn't
even look the Father in the eye. And he looked down, but the Father can see him. Raising the Son's chin and saying, Son, no matter what, you are still my Son. It is a blood relationship. He took a ring and gave it to the Son. What was the symbol of that ring? It was a cycle that showed the relationship had no beginning and shall have no end, irrespective of what, you are still my Son. Because you've got my blood running through your veins. And say, come to my Father's house. But when you come here, you are not going to be a servant. You left as a son, you return as a son. That is the power of restoration. He was not being replaced, he was being restored. The way you left heaven, that's exactly how you will return. You left as a son, you are returning back as a son. And no matter what happens here on earth, there is something within you that will push you and say, go back to the Father's house. You might have messed up big time, but your Father, his mercy is sufficient. He's a God who's rich in mercy. And when you come with a surrendered heart, he's willing to accept your pact. Actually, he forgave you before you asked for forgiveness. Because why? It is unmerited grace. But in the end time, let us not be like the prodigal son. Let us not give ourselves to instant gratification. This world is appealing, but it's perishing. This world is attractive, but it's dying. This world looks appealing, but it is rotten. But you need to put the prophet's spectacle and say, no matter when the people say it's appealing, it's a dying world. And you will not participate. You are in this world, but you are not of this world. You come from heaven and you must return back to heaven. How many years say? I'm just a sojourner here. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger here. But one day I'm returning back. And if I return with one leg missing, so be it. But I'm returning back.
I hope we are together. We live in a neurotic age. People
People are troubled. Families are troubled. Churches are troubled. There is a pressure in people to meet an expectation of the society or of friends. I mean, quite simply, somebody say, today we buy things that we want and avoid things that we need, and we end up begging for things that we need. We buy things to impress people that even don't love us. It's a world where you've got to give an impression. And it creates a pressure. Even on believers, it creates pressure. There's this constant pressure. I want this. And I want it now. I want that. I don't want it now. And as a result, people have got no inner peace anymore. When they are asleep, they're not asleep, they're wide awake. They're thinking and balancing things. Because why? It's a society that we live in. And as a result, people have got so much pressure. A husband has got more pressure, can't tell the wife. The wife has got pressure, she can't tell the husband. The children have got pressure, they can't tell the parents. It's a pressurized society. And tell me something. Who has created this pressure? Who is responsible behind the pressure that we are in? Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's all about rushing.
Isn't it? Yes.
Even when you are parked at the stopped at the robot, something say, why, when doesn't it doesn't open? Because we are forever rushing. Even we as believers, no time for meditation. There is a lot. Our minds is cluttered. We plan that thing. We plan that one. We want this. We want that. To impress this and that one. When are you going to stop impressing people and start impressing God? Because no matter what you do, you will never impress a human being. A human being will tell you that if you do this, this is nice, but later he will turn around and say, it doesn't look nice. Young ones are under pressure. Today, you know, parents, that you cannot even buy your child a clothing. If you buy her a clothes, she goes to her friends and shows them. And they look at him. Goes to the mother and looks and says to the mother, I say, Mama, it looks beautiful. But goes to the friends. Say, no. And spends more time with the friends than with the parents.
No,
the parents are so much paying the bills. They are working so much. There's pressure. They run past the kids. Not ever even having time to ask a child, how was things at school? There is a calculator. And the children are being raised by their parents. When was the last time as a family where you sat around the table and the children heard you appreciating that God sent the
prophet?
When was the last time your child observed you? Where he observed that this message means so much to this old man. The way he talks about this message, it means so much. Doesn't happen.
Akwenzeki.
It's a neurotic age.
Isikhathi ukukhathazeka.
Even the husband and the wife.
Ngisho unkosikazi nomyeni.
They sleep in one bed.
Balala embedeni owodwa.
But they are strangers.
Kodwa abazani.
Amen. And at your workplace, let me tell you something. They are turning you into a slave. They give you iPhone.
iPhone.
They give you tablet.
Tablet.
They give you a laptop.
Laptop.
And you think you are successful. They want to reach you at any time that they want to reach you. When you are busy talking with the family, the message says, tweet, tweet. Can I have this by 8 o'clock tomorrow morning? Then you leave the table. That's the devil behind it, brother. Before you take a high-paying job, check how it will affect your family first. Because you can replace the job, but you can't replace your family. There is things that are irreplaceable. Your relationship with God. Your family. It's irreplaceable. Until such time, a young boy said to the father, Father,
Baba,
how much do you earn? Why do you want to know, son? I want to know how much do you earn per hour. The father was angry, chased the boy. What type of question is that? And the child ran to the bedroom. And was there in the bedroom. But the father said, I want to know, why did he ask me that question? Went to the room and said,
Johnny,
why did you ask me? He says, Dad, I wanted to know how much you get per hour. Because I have saved money in my piggy bank. And I want to pay you for just 1 hour to spend with you. That's the society that we are living in. The fathers don't stay and talk to their boys. We live in the same house, but we are strangers. We are all busy with what? With our personal gratification. And your personal gratification will never take you to heaven. When was the last time you were still in the presence of the Lord? Why you didn't want to be disturbed?
But
you were meditating and praying to God. Today, believers are only praying in church. Prayer is a foreign thing in the home. You've got more expectation from God than the people that lived in the past. And yet they lived in the presence of the Lord. Most of the Bibles are only open in church, brethren. Most spoken words are only open in church. Most time we speak about the prophet is only in church. But yet we've got high expectations. The prophet said when you talk about him, you bring him down. If you want him to come to your house, speak about him. But what are we talking about? The little car. The latest clothing. The latest house. The latest job. The latest computer.
Amen.
No more how to operate an iPhone than to find a scripture in the Bible. And you turn around and have a high expectation. God cannot be misled, brethren. He knows us.
We are sons.
He is looking at us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. As somebody said, believers, they have got a father on Sunday and they live the rest of the week as orphans.
bano baba ngesonto baphila iviki lonke ungathi abana baba
reality
unjalo.
I can't make a survey in this church and say, you couples, when was that last time you just sat around and spoken about what the prophet spoke and it blessed you? I won't go around, but you know. If it doesn't happen, God becomes a stranger in our house. Here's something that I want to take away. Stop impressing people. Stop living for a moment. Live for the Almighty God. Please Him at all times. He will always be in your home. God bless you, Rich. I don't mind waiting. How many say, I don't mind waiting? So long as it's promised by God, I don't mind waiting. And the pastor will just lead us in prayer after. Yes. Believers.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, tonight we approach the throne of mercy in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God Almighty, to be a privilege to come into your house and to hear such words, O God Almighty, of correction. Father God, we pray tonight in the name of Jesus that we'll rather wait for you, O God Almighty. Oh, Jesus, we want that character, Heavenly Father, that pertains to your way, to the message of the hour. For you said, wait until I come back, Lord. And we don't want to divert from the way of the spoken word, the promise that you have given, Lord, that you return to take the church without spot or wrinkle or any such. Father God, we believe your word is true and faithful. And you said all things will pass away, but your word will ever remain, Heavenly Father. Lord God Almighty, may we never be attracted by the things of the world that will pass away, Lord God Almighty, in a moment. But we wait for those things, O God, that forever, that shall ever remain, that are eternal, O God Almighty. We thank you for your servant that we have used tonight, Lord. Oh, Heavenly King, such words, such correction. Oh, God Almighty, we want to rise up again, Heavenly Father, and return to you, O God. We know you are ready to receive us, O God. You are ready to forgive us of our sins, O Heavenly Father. May we take courage, Lord, from your word, Heavenly Father. No matter what happens, Lord, the coffers, Lord, things that come against us, Lord, trying to stand in the way, Heavenly Father, when we come back to you. But we say, Lord, we are coming back, Lord. We are returning to the Father. We are returning to the land of Judah. We are returning to your mercies, Lord. And you know, Lord, you are ready to receive us and fill us, Lord, and wash us from all sin and corruption of this world. Hallelujah, we pray, Lord God Almighty. May your Holy Spirit, O God, hover upon us, O God. And Father, make these words, Lord, alive. Quicken them, Heavenly Father. Make them alive in the hearts of your children, O God. May we be what we eat. May we eat upon the word of God. May we feed upon the message of the day. May we feed on your promises, O God. May we feed, Heavenly Father, on the things that you said unto us in this day, Lord. And we become just like the Son of Man. We become the word, Heavenly Father. We become the true reflection of you, O God, here on earth as we are waiting for thy soon coming. Lord, there are so many disturbances, Lord. So many attractions of the things of the world, oh God. Take the attention of your children away from your word. But we thank you, Lord, for your intervention tonight. Your word has corrected us, Lord. Has pulled us up, Lord, away from those things, oh Heavenly King. Now, Lord God Almighty, we pray, Lord, when we shall stand apart, may the same presence go with us, Lord. And may we ponder over these things, Lord. May we pray, Lord, and seek you, Lord. Have time to talk about you, Lord Jesus. Have time, Heavenly Father, to talk about the things that we have done in our day, Almighty and true God. And when we talk about you, he said, you will appear to us, Lord. You will come, Lord God Almighty, to our side. We thank you. Bless the pastor, Lord. Strengthen him, Heavenly Father. Restore the virtue that has gone out of him as he was laboring, oh God. Preaching your word, Lord. Bless him, Lord. Bless the church, oh God. Oh, Heavenly Father, may you bless his family too. I pray and surrender these words to you. May you multiply them upon our hearts as we meditate upon them. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. 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 Oh,
until we meet on Sunday, 9 o'clock. May God grant you the traveling mercy. Amen. Till we meet on Sunday. You can give us a dismissing song.
Oh.